Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice.
Here we go.
I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live for the low budget live bar and grill, bar and bunker. Bar and something? I don't know. But if you're just joining this fine program for the first time, you're now a lowlifer. Congratulations. That's what all of the listeners of Low Budget Live refer to themselves as, the lowlifer. So I know some of y'all just tune in just to not like it, but you're a lowlifer, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that's something that you were trying to avoid in your life. If you were trying to be a little higher class, look down upon the low lifers. Well, you're just one of us now if you tuned in to the Low Budget Live experience here. So we appreciate each and every one of you, you bunch of low lifers. Hope y'all doing well out there. This is the podcast for Monday, June 21st, and I'm recording it a little earlier than normal. Got a special guest today, and it's Father's Day weekend. So I normally record on Sundays a lot of times, so we're recording this a little earlier than that. And on Sunday, y'all are going to be hearing this on Monday, but on Sunday, my Vols are in Omaha, baby. Go Big Orange. Them Omaha Vols. Come on with it. That's how I'm going to spend my Father's Day. So to all the daddies out there, the good daddies, y'all know it's the greatest job in the world. It is the greatest gift in the world, being a dad. And I'm fortunate I get to be a dad and a stepdad to five awesome kids, and it never gets old, man. It never gets old. It's hard being a dad. I know y'all out there, you realize that, but we all kind of feeling our way through it together, right? And there are definitely times that it's easier than others. But it's so crazy that the different ages and different phases you go through. And in our house, you know, the triple threat and I, we've got them from 10 all the way to Harper Elizabeth, almost 20 years old. So we in every life stage you can imagine right now. here in Middle Tennessee, but man, I wouldn't trade anything for it. That's for dang sure. So happy belated Father's Day to all you daddies out there as you're listening on your Monday out there getting it done for your family. You know, I was thinking about how to open this show just because of that, man. Being a dad is so it's something that I can't get enough of. Especially y'all see my stuff if you follow me on social media. My boys are getting into fishing more and more and more and more, and it's just cool. It's cool watching them learn, whether it be about the things you have interest in or things that they have, you know, that they're interested in that you didn't necessarily grow up doing, and the music they like and the entertainment choices, you know, movies or books or whatever. It's really cool, and it's so cool watching them come into their own. And I'm just grateful for that. So thanks to them for letting me be their dad. And as my stepkids, I'm a dad and a stad. Harper named me Stad about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And that has been a great gift in life, having five awesome kids. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about out there if you are fortunate enough to be a parent. So this is the Low Budget Life Father's Day special, kind of, sort of. But lots of things moving and shaking this week, man. I actually had just kind of a week of rest as much as I could. Y'all saw I was posting up a lot of dang videos out there this week. Had a fishing video go up. Me and David Gaston down there in Alabama, fishing for some giants with the frogs, and about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But posted that up this past week and. Hope y'all enjoyed that. I hope you go check it out if you haven't. Some of the craziest topwater action I've ever had in my life on a frog, that old 6 cents Vega frog. But did that, and y'all saw tons of podcasts. But with podcasts always come lots of comments, man. And you know, the kind of opinion piece that I did about the guys not showing up to the Bassmaster Classic, the BPT guys, lots of interesting comments on that. And I'm not going to go through the butt hurt ones because it's funny. I've got folks, you know, that are low lifers. They're as much low lifers as the loyal low lifers that listen every week that love Low Budget Live. But if I ever say anything negative about the Bass Pro Tour, they're like, "This is all you do. This is all you do. You're just full of hate. You just hate." And it's just so opposite of that. And so I wanted to just real quick clarify one thing, and that is people were saying I was divisive. My point of that entire rant was that them not showing up makes it more divisive. If we all can just get our heads out of our own, you know, butts and come together at events and realize that this industry is tiny, that it's not as big as we all think it is, that will make things less divisive. Right. And there are, you know, I don't believe, in my opinion, that it's the folks at Bass making it more divisive. And it's definitely the anglers that and ownership of the Bass Pro Tour that did decide to make it divisive. A lot of good things going on at both places and some bad things going on at both places. Just same as the NPFL, man. We got our positives and we got our negatives. In my opinion, right now, we got way more positives than we do negatives. But there's definitely room for all three in the sport. I saw an opinion piece that Terry Brown did with WiredToFish.com, and I want to say thank you to Terry for writing that on the MPFL. It's awesome. He gave some kind words my way and Fat Cat Newton's way and the Double D, David Dudley's way, and it was very kind of him, and it was funny reading through the Facebook comments because every now and then I do that. You know, y'all notice probably more and more that I don't comment back as much on the podcast just because I get tired of the, you know, drama that people like to rattle up, fake pages and different things in the comments. But I did take a gander through there, and it was funny how much people think they know about things that go on, you know. And I say this a lot, like, before you comment online, you know, do your research, make sure you know. And it's just funny to me, the people that are like downing MPFL and whether it be the entry fees or whether it be the payouts or whatever, they have no clue what actually goes on, that have never given the MPFL a chance. So I appreciate Terry Brown and WiredToFish.com for running that story, because 99% of the media outlets in this thing are either owned by a competing organization or won't touch us with a 10-foot pole. Yes, I'm talking to you, BassFan.com. They act like they don't exist. You know, BassFan used to be like this worthy news source in professional bass fishing, and now it's just basically a fluff piece joke for Major League Fishing because they're owned by the same people. And, like, they don't even do their research on Bassmaster events. They just copy and paste whatever story Bass posts on their own thing. Like, they don't even take the time to go do their own work anymore. So I appreciate the good guys out there like WiredToFish.com for running that story. They've ran with it. AnglersChannel.com from the beginning. BTL, my man Mark Jeffries, I know he was, skeptical in the beginning. Mark and I had a really good conversation the other day about it, and he's definitely paying attention, and I appreciate that. I appreciate Mark's brutal honesty. At times, I know we butt heads, but I appreciate guys like that giving it a chance because there are some real deal anglers fishing the MPFL, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Just like the Bass Pro Tour has its good things, right? Just like Bassmaster, they're the OG, right? So there's room for all this without being divisive. And I've been critical of BPT and its anglers and its ownership, obviously, and I've got history there. But my thing is, like, to broad strokes say, oh, you just have hate in your heart. It's not fair, man. It's not a fair statement. You don't know anything about me in that regard because it's not true. Like, I've got a lot of good friends, and I keep up with what's going on at the events. You know, I've been glued to the Big Five deal up there at the Potomac River this week. Lawson Hibden, as I record this, is blowing it out. Dion Hibden's son. It's very cool to see. Seeing a lot of my buddies up there catching them. So it's, I don't know, man. That's people make, whenever you throw a statement and you're honest, right? Like, I feel like I am honest. People do, they take, once you release it into the world, they put their spin on it. And a lot of times the negative stuff that comes back about me or this show is just what freaking a few butthurt people, throw fuel on the fire, so to speak. So just kind of wanted to, that was a good little rambling rant there, but I don't know, man, there was just some of it that I'm like, man, come on, look a little deeper into what I said. One other thing, a lot of people commented, well, man, Dustin Connell and some of the guys were at the Wiley X High School Fishing Camp. Yes, that was scheduled on top of the Classic, but it ended on Friday. There were guys that worked both that I know very well that were at the Classic and that. And I'm very familiar with that event. I think it's a great event. It was started by Costa Sunglasses, and Melinda Hayes started that event. She was a completely her brainchild years ago, and Costa ran it with FLW. It's funny now that Costa pulled out after the big split that it's now the Wiley X Sunglasses High School Camp, but it is a very, very, very good thing for high school anglers. I have attended it and worked it three times, I think. Great deal. Really good deal. Met a lot of really good young anglers there. So it's a positive. Like, it's a positive. It's not their deal, but it's a positive. But it was very much scheduled on top of the Classic. And I understand those guys were working some of that. But you can, it's hard to be two places at once. I get that. But there's a lot of times that I'm really tired, right, and that I travel and that I do too much. But I do it because I'm lucky enough to get to do this for a damn living. And sometimes you got to make sacrifices. And at the end of the day, you fish 8 tournaments a year, 52 weeks in a year. Maybe you make an exception on a weekend and you shuck and jive a little more than you want to. It's just my opinion. Obviously, a lot of folks disagree with it. A lot of folks think I'm spot on, especially industry folks that reached out after that podcast. So I just want to clear the air a little bit. Speaking of clearing things out, what about this StarTron right here? Clearing out ethanol. See what I did there? Getting it out of your weed eater, getting it out of your chainsaw, getting it out of your outboard engine, and just flat kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing y'all, whether you like it, you love it, or you hate it, Low Budget Live for going on 4 years now. This August will be 4 years of this insanity. Hard to believe. But this bottle right here will treat 256 gallons of ethanol. Nothing gums up the works worse than ethanol. Every gas pump you go to contains at least 10% ethanol, unless you're paying for that high dollar stuff, and ain't nobody got time for that or the wallet for it. Gas is too high. So get you some StarTron, put it in your tank, a little dab will do you, and knock that crap out. Nothing ruins a good day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run due to ethanol. So kick it in the teeth. Shake your StarTron. Thanks to the fine folks of StarTron. Sims Fishing Products. Got to get out on the good old Tennessee River two evenings in a row with them Duncan boys after those bass in the freaking heat. Solar Flex hoodie coming in clutch in the heat. Love those sun shirts, man. Put the hood up and get that old sun off of you. Been wearing that out. Thank God we haven't been able to use the rain suit in the last few days. It's been nice being out there in the sunshine, even though it's been a little hot. But I'm here to remind every single one of you lowlifers that you get one life. Fish it well. The fine people at Pro Guide Batteries powering that Express X21 with the 31 series AGMs this year. Loving those batteries. They absolutely are, you know, they've really blown my mind, man. I've had battery issues for years and years and years and years, and they've really stopped this year. It's crazy. That coupled with the power pole charge system I'm running this year, I've really been impressed that what my battery life is at the end of long days fishing in the current. Y'all know Tennessee River rat. So I definitely put them through the paces, but if you would like to try some out, they are back in stock on the website because all you lowlifers wiped them out. But you can use code LBL10 to get you a discount on some of them 31 AGMs. Put them in your boat and get powered up. Get down that lake, catch those bass all the time and not worry about your batteries anymore. Pro Guide Batteries. And last, but certainly not least, hang the banner, baby, right here. Express Boats, the official boat of Low Budget Live, not so live, Low Budget Live, 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 as you saw at the Classic and the Traveling Circus. Loving that X21 Pro, loving the Sea Deck, loving that Yamaha show. It is every time I get to go, I finally got to fish, like I said, a couple days this week, and for the first time in about 3 weeks because I haven't been home. It's crazy. You have to travel, you know, to do this for a living, but I haven't been home, haven't been there with my boat, so got to go out. Man, I'm in love with my entire setup this year so much. I know y'all hear me talk about it on here. I know you probably fast forward through this part sometimes. You get tired of me talking about that Express X21, but I'm telling you right now, go take a ride in one. Go look at one at a dealer if you can find one, because they selling out right now like hotcakes, they told me at the Classic. But a lot of y'all messaging me about that. Find a local dealer. Get on expressboats.com. Check it out. Find you an X21, find you an X19, or some of the other models. Tons to choose from. Get yourself an Express, because if there's one thing I can say, it's an incredible product, but it's backed by incredible people, and that means something in this old world, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to thank the folks from Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, bringing you Low Budget Live and building excitement since 1966. And the alternate slogan, if you ain't in an Express, you're getting your butt kicked in. Something like that. It's a work in progress. So my guest today, let's shoot him a little text here. My guest today is a guy that I have known since, 2012, 13-ish, probably somewhere in that vicinity. He is the host, one of the hosts of the Let's Talk Fish podcast that actually started right around the exact same week as Low Budget Live. We were talking technical details and all kinds of things. They went way further in, though, than me. They've got way nicer studio set up. Them boys are doing strong work, him and Brian Thrift. But absolute, you know, dominant angler at FLW while he was there. When the big switch happened, he got an invite to the Elite Series. He has held his own there and just recently finished second, just last week, as a matter of fact, in the Bassmaster Classic out at Ray Roberts. Barely missed winning $300,000 and becoming Bassmaster Classic champion. My buddy, my wife thinks I look like him. I'll tell you that story right now. We're going to get him on the phone. From Shelby, North Carolina.
Hello.
Matt Airy.
Mr. Duncan.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing a lot better than I deserve, I can promise you that.
You know, well, I was just going to start right off the top and say, how does that drive home feel when you're right there Right there. Right there. And you and I are boys with Hank. We're pulling for Hank, you know, as much as we're pulling for ourselves. But how does that drive home feel knowing that you're right there? And I'm not pouring salt in the wound because I, you know, if there was anybody in that crowd that was pulling for you and that felt the pain for you, it was me. But how did that drive home feel? Was it one like, you know, I am better than I deserve, or were you a little mad at him?
Man, it was honestly, it was a roller coaster of emotions. And I had, so our drive from the Lake Ray Roberts, the state park ramp there to the Dickies Arena to weigh in was, you know, with traffic and all in the afternoon, it took a while.
Brutal.
Hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half. You know, if you were lucky, you get there an hour and 15 minutes. But mornings weren't too bad. Of course, we were leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, before we'll rewind and the drive back to North Carolina, you know, 15, whatever hours was up and down, man. It really was. And a lot goes through your mind and not just because, I left it all out there, but you know, you obviously think about the what ifs and what could have beens, and you know, you actually visualize yourself making like trophy speeches and stuff in your head, and what you would have said, and how you would have hugged your girls, and how, you know what I'm saying.
I get it, man.
You know, one of the parts that I haven't talked about much was, you know, they come get the wives of the top two guys there at the end, and they knew it was going to be close, and Jacqueline and their two kids and Emily and my two girls, they took them back in the, actually it's right there at the entrance where the Super Six comes out. So they were kind of in the dark back there, and they were going to rush one of them out when the winner was announced. And when they announced the winner, you know, and I walked off stage, I went back there and, you know, they rushed Jacqueline and the kids out there, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, just boohoo, and she's back there crying, man. And that was a pretty stout moment because she didn't understand, you know, she's only four and she didn't really understand what happened and why it happened and things like that. But, you know, I am a believer, I'm a man of faith, and I've been fortunate to win a couple tour level events in the past. I know sometimes, you know, you can even make a lot of mistakes and still come out on top. And I just, you know, I believe when it's your time, it's your time. But when I got home on that 15 and a half hour drive, I pulled in the driveway, and I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook page. I think I posted a picture of it, but I had about 15 close friends and their kids and all had a big giant banner that said, "Welcome home." And it had a big Bass logo on it. And it was, anyway, it was,
that's awesome,
It was bittersweet, but you know, that's the things that make you appreciate, you know, what really matters. I mean, yeah, classic title, awesome, but there's a lot of people in a lot of worse situations, you know what I mean?
No doubt about it, man. And you are a very, very fortunate guy. You got an awesome family, you got a lot of good things going on. And I think for people, you know, you're a very popular angler amongst fishing fans. You've been doing it for a long time, but I think really we're just now getting to see the true Matt Airy coming out party, so to speak, because that classic stage is so huge in the sport of bass fishing. I mean, you've got FLW wins on the co-angler side and the pro side, multiple Forestwood Cups. You're always contending in the Angler of the Year mix at FLW. Now you jump over. You had a chance to win an elite at Guntersville. But, man, this was – that's all I could think watching you there on the last day and seeing you just right there in the mix and hearing you on camera, because you're always so well-spoken, man. You carry yourself so great. You always have. You're a pro through and through, on the water, off the water. And I think it was exciting for me to see. So even though you didn't win, you still won. Like, you had it's an incredible week. And I want to remind you real quick of one of those times where you did have one of those bites go your way. You remember at Beaver when that fish followed that swim bait to the boat?
Man,
and you got on video, your knees.
Yeah, that video is still on YouTube somewhere. Yes. And that is the most memorable fish catch of my life.
For not sure.
It won a tour level event, but even if we were just out there goofing off and fishing, like, that doesn't happen ever.
No. You know?
And that was
and that's pretty, that your time stuff you're talking about. Like, guys, if you're watching this and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, what was that, 2016?
15, I believe.
15. Right. I won that event as a co-angler and you won it as a pro. That's right. So
That's right.
It was 15. I thought it was the next year, but it was, 'cause next year was the flood year. But 2015, Matt's reeling in a swim bait, has a really good fish, follow it to the trolling motor, essentially, gets down, and the fish bite. Craziest thing you ever see in FLW. Go search it, Google it, but he wins the event because of it.
Yep. Basically. I was out of line.
Out of line.
Fish bird dogged it, and I was out of line. The fish is still behind it. You know, 99% of the time, the fish will turn away or shy away, and I don't know if this fish was half blind or what, but he got there beside the boat, and I'm out of line, so I just start kind of paralleling the boat, like your musky fish.
Yes,
like
figure eight, yeah.
And that's the only thing that came to mind, and I just did it, and he kept following it, and I'm like, well, I think he's going to eat it, and he ate it, you know.
Unbelievable.
And, we boat flipped him, and it was a five-pounder, and yeah, ended up winning the tournament.
And the camera guy's right there. I mean, it was beautiful, man. And you've won.
That camera guy was Trey Bruce. He was my camera guy this past Sunday.
No way? Really?
Yep, he sure was.
No way.
And Trey got in the boat, and I, you know, at the end of the – so he was also my camera guy. My first my first BASS event when I moved over to the Elites was at St. John's River, and we had a good finish down there, and he was my camera guy on the second day because we were in top 10 after the first day, I believe. And that's when I realized Trey was back doing some work for Bass. And anyway, I haven't been paired with him since. And I got paired with him Sunday, and I said, "Man, let's see if we can make some magic again." You know. And it was pretty surreal there for a while. And I said, "Trey, we it's happening again, brother. It's happening again."
Unbelievable, dude. That is
nobody knows that. I don't think anybody.
That's
really knows
so
that.
Crazy. Yeah, that is why. And so now I didn't even have the. Guys, this is obviously the first time I'm hearing this, and so are y'all. But, dude, talk about that, because now I'm doing the live coverage for MPFL, so I get to see a lot of this stuff behind the scenes. Talk about that bond with your camera guy on a special day like that. I mean, it happens. It's almost like a team tournament. Like, I watch the guys fist bumping. Like, it happens, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're actually – I mean, especially when it's 98 degrees and no wind out there in Texas.
Oh,
you're,
my gosh,
you're
kind of
keeping each other on your toes.
No
each
doubt.
Other on the game. And that works both ways because, trust me, those guys, they earn their
They work, man.
And they got some – Bass is – you know, they're fortunate to have some of the best in the business.
For
you know,
sure.
I could date Jason. There's a lot of good ones out there. And everyone I've ever been in the boat with been, you know, just down to earth, good old boys, like to hunt and fish. Love doing what they're doing, you know, and it's their dream job, just like fishing, you know, is our dream job. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's I tell you that. And Trey, you know, when you rewind to that fish catch in 2015, and you're talking about, you know, obviously that fish followed that swim bait all the way to the boat. I'm out of line, and you know, stealth becomes a big issue at this point. You don't want him beating and banging around. And man,
right.
When I said, get down, he didn't hesitate. He got down on his knees and still captured every moment that captured. And that blows my mind on how good those guys are at what they do.
No doubt about it, man. That is so cool, man. That might be the coolest story for me that came out of the Classic. Sorry about your back-to-back.
I want you to know, Luke, I've done four or five podcasts and interviews this week, and you're the first one I told that to. So,
well, I mean, this is Low Budget Live, Matt. This is the big time. I don't know if you know that or not.
we did ours the other day.
I saw that.
And I didn't even mention that. I saved that one for you.
See, isn't that crazy? We get in this world where, and you get asked to do a bunch of them like I do, and I end up kind of laying back and not doing as many other podcasts because, damn, I got to have something to talk about on this show weekly. So I'm like, I think I upset people sometimes when they're like, "Hey, man, can you do my podcast?" I'm like, "Oh, man, I'm sorry. Like, I can't because, you know, got to save something here for every week on Low Budget, man." Yeah. So, dudes, well, speaking of the podcast, like, how do you gauge – I know you're like me. You're super self-critical. But, I mean, how do you gauge how well that's going for you guys? I feel like it's really good, man. You got a super cool studio. Looks to be growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we're real inconsistent because of Thrift and I.
For sure, yeah. It's hard, man. It's like Iaconelli. It's hard.
Yeah, we've only done I don't even know how many episodes we've done in 2021, maybe 15 or so. And mm-hmm. normally we'd be way past, I don't think, maybe 12 or 13. But, you know, we're fortunate in our area, too, to have a lot of guests.
Definitely.
To the studio and get in-house. So
yes.
That's always cool. But, you know, we interact a lot and engage with the fans and, the feedback's been great. I honestly wish we could get in there and do more of them. But, you know, once the season winds down, which is pretty soon for us, actually, we'll get back in the studio. And, you know, one thing about Thrift is rarely I'll still go over there and do one when he's out of town, but you won't see him slide over and do one without me.
Yeah, Thrifty is not going to be like, hey, Matt, hey, I want to go get on that camera and talk. Yeah, not happening.
For whatever reason, I don't think Thrift likes talking to himself like I do. So.
You and I are a lot alike, Matty.
Did you have the nickname Mouth when you were a
kid? I did. Listen, this is no joke, and it's Father's Day weekend, so I can tell this, but the only time that I ever really got in trouble in school, honestly, like I was pretty good. I know a lot of people listening to this are probably like, yeah, right. But the only time I ever like bad, you know, parent-teacher conference stuff is always, he just won't shut up. It was always, he talks when.
That's scary familiar.
Yeah, scary it's familiar. Like, hey, we're up here trying to teach about whatever, and Luke's back there telling a story about deer hunting this weekend. Like, we can't shut him up.
It's a good thing we didn't sit beside each other.
No doubt, buddy. And if I ever got next to one of my buddies that was like-minded like me, it was game over. I'll never forget being in the eighth grade, and we went to this dude is so vivid. But Mr. Richardson, shout out Mr. Richardson. He's probably not listening. But it was my eighth grade science teacher, and we were walking through. They had this deal at our state park called the Outdoor Classroom, and we're walking around, and he's telling us, oh, this kind of tree's this, and this kind of tree's this. Well, me and my buddies are like, yeah, well, we know this crap. We do this all the time with our dad. So we're back there talking amongst ourselves, and he says, Mr. Duncan? I'm like, oh, God. And, dude, this guy didn't play. I got up at the front, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Duncan will be leading the tour through the Outdoor Classroom for the rest of the time because he seems to know more than me.
Kind of did you take the reins?
I did. Well, what else was I going to do, you know? And that's what, you know, kids, if you're listening to this, that's how I guess you get to be a mouth runner in professional bass fishing one day. You just always talk. I don't know. That's how I think Matt and I will tell you that is a big deal. Having a personality definitely helps.
Yeah. And you got to have something for people to connect with, you know.
You
and you're obviously very blessed in that area, and that's something that this industry, you know, a lot of guys that come in, they come and go, and, you know, are they phenomenal anglers? Absolutely. But you know, it's a two-way street.
It is,
here.
Ma'am.
You got to figure it out, and you know, you got to figure it out early and be able to make money off the water just like on the water.
Well,
you know?
And I think it's real important, you know, I always try to stress this on the show, but you got to know your place too a little bit, right? Like find your place, not know your place as much, but find your deal. And like, you found yours, I found mine. Like, and I'm completely comfortable in my, when I hear you go, yeah, it's so funny. It's like, we all have a hard time being satisfied as anglers, but I hear you, it makes me laugh to hear you go, yeah, man, I wish me and Thrift could just do more shows when you're out there finishing second at the Classic. And I'm like, damn, I wish I could have finished second in the Classic. I'll trade weekly for, you know, almost hoisting that trophy, man. That's so funny. But, you know, for me, this is my focus now more than anything is the media side. And I had so many people ask me about MPFL this weekend, this past weekend at the Classic, and I'm like, man, it's the most fun I've ever had other than catching a bass. Like watching those guys and getting to call it go down and meeting them, you know, getting to be at the event. Like, it's so much fun, man. I'm having fun, and I'm so grateful to see at the same time my buddies like you just out there growing and your stars getting bigger, man. I don't think a Matt Airy interview can go by without mentioning the fact that my wife once almost killed me over you.
I'd forgotten about that.
And I've told this story on here before, and I forget why and in what context, but Matt and his lovely bride went on a beach trip, and Matt apparently in a little small tiny Instagram picture looks like me. From a distance, call it the beard, call it the good looks. I don't know, but we are very much. And when I was on the FLW tour, my wife screenshots, it pops up in the Discovery feed, and it's his wife, Emily, has posted a picture of him and her hugged up on the beach. And my wife, for a very minute second, and I tried to get her to join us, Matt. I tried to get her to come out here this morning and tell this honest to goodness before I came out. She's like, I don't want to do the podcast today. And I was like, please come out here and talk to Matt and tell this story because it's so great. But she screenshots it, sends it to me, and circles it, and says, for a split second, this picture almost got you murdered. And I was like, A, I don't know what to think about that. B, really, like, you thought that if I had a girlfriend, we would be on the beach and she'd be posting pictures. I mean, like, I don't even know how that works, but okay. So
you know better than that.
I know. I feel like you know better, but okay. Like, she went jungle cat crazy for just a hot second there. And she's like, yep, you better be glad I clicked it. And it was Matt Airy and not you. I'm like, dang. So forever, whenever I would see Matt's wife, hey, hubby number two. It was a joke amongst us out there on the tour for a while. So, yeah, I have to always bring that up to Matt because it's one of my favorite stories. Really one of my favorite things that's ever happened in my marriage since I didn't get killed, you know?
Right. You were in the right, not the wrong.
That's right. If I was in the wrong, probably wouldn't have been as funny of a story for me or you, either one.
Yeah, wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it would have been good at all, you know? I don't think so. Not in the least, man. But it was very cool, man, seeing that you had the girls come out, though, obviously, to the Classic. And they are very much daddy's girls. I love seeing the everything that they draw for you under your lid, man. It makes me smile every single time.
Yeah, they are the driving force. And, you know, it's funny because those signs that I put underneath my deck lid, shoot, I've had one every year for the past, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 yeah. years. And, of course, they make me some chalk. A lot of chalk drawings before I leave for each tournament on the driveway. I usually snap them.
You post too, those, yeah.
There's nothing better. You're out there, you lose a big fish, you're having a bad day, you whatever, man. And you get down to retie, and you know, sometimes our mind gets lost out there, and when you sit down and you open that deck lid and you see that sign, you realize the most important things in life and what really matters, and it gets you right back into that positive train of thought that you need to stay in all day to compete, you know, at that level. And that's you know, that's important. I mean, that's my backbone when I'm out there, you know.
Well, that's it. And you know, that's a cliche statement a lot of us make. But, dude, everybody at that level can catch them. They can cast. They find them. But it's between the ears.
100%.
It gets down to that. And when you have that support system, when you have that to lean on, I think it's huge, man. I know that, I mean, you can see guys melt down. And like I said, doing live coverage now, I watch it, and I don't think people realize how close they are to winning a lot of times, whether it be the pattern or, you know what I'm saying, the areas they find, but they spin out or something, you know, lost fish causes, and it's all about sticking with it. And if you did anything on the final day of the Classic, it would stick with it because, dude, you could have easily have lost it. That frog, that high-risk, high-reward bait, will you ever throw it again?
100%. 100%. I know the damage that thing can do, and you know, I was out there to try to win the Classic.
No doubt.
You know, that you talk about the, you know, how big a stage that is and things like that. And you know, I've been doing this 13 years full time, and last year, you know, my first Classic at Lake Gunnersville when you know, the girls, and I was a little bit closer to the house and had a lot of family support that came down, and you know, it was almost surreal because it's something you dreamed about since you were a kid. And you know, it is the biggest stage in our sport. And I, you know, this year, you know, all you want to do is win. I mean, when you get to that tournament, that's all you care about. That's all you dream about. That's all you work for. And I knew that, yes, it's high risk, high reward, but I was trying to play a little bit different game than everybody else that was left out there. And, you know, I wanted to try to catch the biggest bag on the lake and make a run at it. You know, we had some opportunities, and, you know, I felt like we put ourselves in the right position. It just wasn't our time.
No doubt about it. From a fan standpoint and an angler listening to this at home, because as that was going on, I actually did Bass U with Pete Glusick, and we talked about that frog being high risk, high reward, and why it is becoming more of a player. You know, growing up, it was like, oh, where do you throw a frog? Lily pads. Matted grass. You know what I mean? Like, that was the deal, like the man's rat, the, you know, all that back in the day, that's what we did. But why that last day do you think that did play for you so much? Like, what changed to make those fish react to that frog?
Yeah, so a lot of things factored into the reason. So I actually weighed in 2 or 3 fish on day 2.
Okay.
Of the Classic with a frog. Okay. And a lot of people didn't know that because I didn't have a camera on me and things like that. But,
right.
You know, after that storm delayed us on day 2, I went out and I said, you know, I've had a lot of situations in the past with summertime storms. Now, I'm saying summertime storms, not wintertime storms.
Right.
But summertime storms, and as soon as they pass and that big pressure drop, you know, that big pressure change. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen, it's the same with deer and turkeys, you know, hunting. They get up and they move, you know, when those big storms pass. They get up, they get active. And, you know, a lot of guys I've heard over the years say, well, that lightning will shut down the top water bite. That does this. Well, in the summertime, I've had some of the most epic top water days of my life in the first hour or two after a big storm passes. Mm-hmm. So first thing I did when I went out there, as soon as we had that delay, and it's already a couple hours in the day, you know, but I pick it up, I get some bites on it immediately. And that was something that really started to develop more for me during the tournament. Now, one thing is I tried to monitor a lot of the water I was fishing, how guys were fishing it and what they were doing. So one thing I did is I had a milk run of several areas that I could somewhat monitor from a distance to an extent. And I could see how guys were approaching them and see how guys, a lot of the guys were flipping the outside edge of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to cut, and this may have had to do a lot with the water coming up a few more inches throughout the week and kind of stabilizing. I felt like some of those fish slid up a little bit further throughout the tournament, whether it was due to pressure or just the water coming up a few more inches, a lot of the brim and stuff moving up shallower. There was a lot of life up in some of the shallower grass. And when I say grass, it wasn't one specific type of grass. This was stuff that never has water on it typically, and it's all kinds of different varieties of grass, little isolated patches of grass, four or five different types of grasses. And I ended up catching several key fish off of that type of stuff, which is more further back in and behind some of the willows and the buck brush that guys were flipping a lot of. Okay. Now, I did fish side edge, but that was the biggest change that I made the last day, was trying to get a little bit deeper and fish it in a little bit different way than everybody else to try to trigger some bites.
Interesting. I always like to know that thought process as a tournament angler, and I know a lot of people listening are the same way, because it looks like you're just winging a frog out there. Master's
right.
Throwing a frog, but there's so much of a process that goes through it, because you're watching the other guys on live, and like you said, a lot of them are flipping. Did you have to share, when you're talking about monitoring those areas, where there's just a lot of people going through the same areas pretty much?
Oh yeah, well, I shared water with Kennedy, Hank Cherry, and Chris Jones.
Wow.
So,
no kidding.
Yeah, so I shared some water with, all of the top three, including myself, and then Kennedy, which I'm not sure where Kennedy ended up finishing. I think he was in the top 10. I know he had a rough final day, but, those are guys that I ran into. And Chris Johnson, actually, I ran into Chris Johnson on day two a little bit. So, yeah, interesting that a lot of – it's funny how these guys always find – stuff, you know,
they do, man. And it's one of those things, it's when people, I always joke, if you're alone in a big tournament, you're either blowing it out by 100 pounds or you're in last place, because right. Think about if one guy lands on that, it's game over if nobody else messes with it, you know. And what's crazy for me is Chris Jones is one of the best flippers in the country, like, truly. Yep. Those Oklahoma boy, he's that Jason cut from that Jason Christie cloth, you know, so that's pretty much what he did. Hank did his thing. You were doing your, that's so cool, man, how y'all all approached it differently, for different finishes, for sure, man. And you got close, Maddie. You got close, buddy. And it won't be the last time. You'll definitely get to hoist one of those trophies, man. And I hope it's sooner than later. That way we can, talk about it on LBL, say we called it. I hope it's next year, because there's a lake where the Classic's going to be next year, Matt, that you like it. You like it a little bit.
I love it. I don't want to talk too much about it and jinx myself.
I'm with that. Now, where are you at right now, 40th. Headed into that northern swing?
40th
so. Place. Got some work to do.
That's right.
Yeah, not to put any low budget pressure on you here, buddy. But you're going to Champlain next. You got to St. Lawrence River. I think you're going to be all right. I know a guy named Matt Airy that's caught him at Champlain a time or two.
Yeah, I'm comfortable up there, and obviously we've had some – I've never had a top 10 at Champlain, but I've had a lot of top 20s,
yep.
top 30s. And, it's a place – it's one of my favorite fisheries in the country, as is a lot of people. It's just chock full of fish, and everybody always – typically, probably why I don't ever top 10 is because I'll never fish for largemouth up there.
It's so hard to do, man.
It's so hard. I mean, dude, you're like me, Luke. I live – in North Carolina, you're in Alabama. When you drive 16, 17, 18 hours up north, you want to catch them brown fish.
That's right.
You don't get an opportunity to do it around here.
Because there's a lot of them.
That's right.
I get it,
man. We'll see.
Well, buddy, I hope that the rest of the year, I just hope it just continues to grow, man, that you're in that Classic at Hartwell, because the last thing you want is to have to guest host Low Budget Live with me at the Classic next year. It's a time, and I would appreciate you being there, but I would rather you be in that Super 6 going in the final day.
Yeah, well, you and me both, brother, and I do appreciate the kind words.
You're welcome,
support,
man.
we'll see what we can do. We hopefully close out the year strong. Got some momentum. So
ain't no doubt about it, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your Father's Day weekend to do this. Tell Emily and the girls I said hey, and best of luck the rest of the year, buddy.
You do the same, Luke. Thanks for having me, brother.
Hey, thank you, Matt. See you, brother. Matt Airy right there, ladies and gentlemen. Matty. Good dude, man, and great ambassador for the sport, indeed, and just working hard. That guys, that is why right there. So Matt's a guy I've known for years, like I said, but that's why I do this. Like those stories, like the cameraman story, hearing that on the water stuff, him mixing it up with everybody that's in the top five, basically sharing more. That's the good stuff for me, man. That's why I love doing this so much, man. So much. Just those stories. Stories are everything in life to me. It's so cool. So thanks to Matt, like I said, for taking time out of Father's Day weekend to join us here at LBL. Something I forgot to mention when I jumped right out of the gate talking about all the insanity from last week is Coxwatch. Coxwatch. Of course, John had a disappointing finish at the Classic by his standards, but he was fishing the freaking Bassmaster freaking Classic. But then he drove from there to Maryland. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, from Texas to Maryland. Yeah, any of you that were like, yeah, I'm going to the Potomac River for FLW Big Five Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit, I can't come to the Classic. John Cox fished the Classic and then came. So you don't have an excuse. We drove all the way there. And as we sit today, he's like in the top 20, made the cut again, won him 10 grand again. This is freaking crazy, man. I actually forgot that he was even going, and then he just starts posting, oh, I'm at the Potomac. I don't think he got zero practice. I'm not sure. Maybe none, because for those things, they only practice 2 days now for whatever reason. But John Cox, he's I don't even know what his schedule looks like from here. He may not. From here on out, but John is certainly lighting it up this year. It's fun to watch, man. So fun to watch. Want to thank each and every one of you for joining me week in and week out. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, the low life. It's so much fun, man. It's so much fun. Can't thank you enough. Something I want to touch on real quick. A lot of you've been asking boats and pros. It's coming back. We hope to have an episode in July. We hope to have 6 new episodes to run you once a month for the rest of the year. Got some good guests lined up already. It's just a matter of getting together and shooting the first one, and you're going to like the first one because it is with one of my favorite people and one of y'all's favorite people in the entire industry. Can't wait. Absolutely can't wait to get it shot. We're going to go to his homeland to shoot it as well, me and Tanner Lyons. So that'll be good. It'll be really good. Thank y'all. Something else I want to leave you on. It's something that's been on my mind, and I'm not going to go into details, but it came to my attention that at the Classic there were lots of comments made and different things, and it just led me to this thought. Always be satisfied in your life, right? And if you're not satisfied, make a change. Be my advice. It's been like kind of a retrospective weekend here at the Duncan House. But if you're on earth to do a job and you've got that job, why waste your energy worrying about what somebody else is doing that doesn't affect you? By either talking bad or what, you know, whatever. It's I don't get it. I don't get why certain people just can't be satisfied. And if you are in front of thousands of people, and you're front and center of that, why would you worry about what somebody else has got going? I don't know. But be satisfied. That's where I'm trying to get in life, guys. Be satisfied. Be grateful. Like, if anything, like, I'm so grateful I get to do this week in and week out. Having more fun. I told you I was stressed to the gills earlier this year, and I took care of that stress. I got it out of my life, and energy vampires and whatnot. And I am having more fun right now. I had somebody had a call with a potential sponsor this week. And they're like, what's your plan? What's your plan? And I said, I don't have a plan. And I don't. If y'all keep up with this, you know I don't. I got cables everywhere. I don't have a plan. I'm having fun. I'm having fun. I'm watching my kids grow up. I'm fishing more this year than I've fished in a long time. Catching fish, running my express around all over the dang place, having fun in that boat, getting to meet new people, getting to meet low lifers, and just having fun week in and week out, doing it the way I want to do it, come hell or high water, man. And yeah, I'm just grateful for that. And as fishermen, we are never satisfied. As people, we are never satisfied. But my advice to you is, if you're not satisfied, stop worrying about other folks and go find a way to be satisfied. Be happy where you are. Be comfortable in your own skin. Be my advice to you. From one low lifer to the rest of you, and to the ones that aren't low lifers, because those are the ones that really get consumed with the low life. The folks that aren't low lifers really, really, really get consumed. And now with that, I want to say thank you again for everybody that came out to Low Budget Live at the Library Bar in Fort Worth, Texas. Man, it meant a lot. You did not go to Billy Bob's, Texas. You came to hang with us, and there was a bunch of you. Now, I appreciate you. I'm going to take you out with Biloxi Blues, a little song that I wrote. I actually wrote a new song this weekend I'm going to share with y'all very soon that I'm proud of. But going to take you out with Biloxi Blues that y'all all showed up and sang so pretty at the Library Bar in Fort Worth. So cool hearing those words coming back at you. But we'll take you out with that. Hope you all had a great Father's Day weekend. Make sure you hug your mama, and I'm going to take you out with it right here, and I'm going to see y'all next time. Spanish moss and Civil War. Go Big Orange. I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.